Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Ben Crenshaw. What the U.S. team wants to do is change the score. Europeans are really taking it. Man, all right, I've got a great show for you, and it's Ryder Cup weekend, and it's crazy at Bethpage Black. We've got Ryan Harrington checking in from Golf Digest magazine editor. He reported from major championships for over 20 years. Kalani Kia'ana, assistant operations manager, Hawaii Prince Golf Course. He's going to check in with us. They've got this new par three course. I really want to check that out. John Peter Hagen, author, Play Away, Please, the tale of the sale of golf's greatest icon. He was following the Junior Ryder Cup, so we're going to catch up on that end. And Ron Cyrak, award-winning writer, PGA of America Lifetime Achievement in Journalism Award, LPGA Media Excellence Award, and he's on it. So we're going to talk with Ron right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
I'm Danielle Tucker, host of The Golf Club.
Brought to you by the Newtown Driving Range. Warm up before your round or wind down after work. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and great fun. The Aloha Section PGA. Teach your kids to play golf, the game that lasts forever. Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips. In Evilay, next to Costco Gas, and in Waipahu. And teaching pro Claude Brousseau at the Wailea Golf Academy Maui.
The Golf Club
on 101.1.
You know, Ron Cyrak is an award-winning writer. I think I just told you that. PGA of America Lifetime Achievement in Journalism Award, an LPGA Excellence Award, that is Media Excellence Award, a member of the Western Pennsylvania Golf Association Hall of Fame, Golf Channel contributor. He's worked more than 150 major championships, considered to be the only writer to cover all of the men's and women's major championships in the same year, and he did that three times. I just love Ron Cyrak. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Danielle, always a pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. And, I was looking at, I love your first job. He was 12. He was filling up the pop cooler at Castle Hills Golf Course. That's what I call getting in young. Author of Vision 54 Trilogy with Lynn Marriott and Pia Nilsson, including The Game Before the Game, Play Your Best Golf Now, Every Shot Must Have a Purpose. Pick that series up. It's really good. And I can't believe, I don't know if you heard, but, you know, we've got to change the score. This, I'm blown away by the score. How about you, Ron?
I'm not all that surprised. I thought Europe was going to win. I'm surprised that they are as far ahead as they are. But they put together their team really, really intelligently. They only have one rookie on their team, which I think dealing with sort of unruly crowd behavior at Bethpage has helped them a whole lot. The Americans have four rookies on their team. 11 of the 12 players for Europe have won points already. So their stars have come through, John Rahm, Rory McIlroy, Tommy Fleetwood, Tyrell Hatton. And then the depth of their team has been incredibly telling here. They came in on a mission, and they came in prepared for what the atmosphere was going to be like, and they've responded to it really well. And on the other hand, the American stars have sort of not shown up yet.
No kidding. And what is really interesting is the Russell Henley, Scottie Scheffler in the Saturday foursomes. People are saying that Russell Henley is, you know, hurting Scottie Scheffler's performance. Your take?
Well, you know, I think there are some players who are wired to be Ryder Cup players and some who aren't. Tiger Woods had a losing record in the team formats, alternate shot and four ball. And I think Scotty is one of those players, too, who plays better by himself than he does with a partner.
Mm-hmm.
You look on the European side, and they have much more experience playing team golf, and guys like Fleetwood and Rose really rise to the occasion when they're out there with partners. I would be more. I'm more surprised that, and I think this is a mistake of the inexperienced captain, Keegan Bradley, for the United States, is that he sent Morikawa in English back out again today in alternate shot play after they got waxed yesterday, and sat John Spahn, the U.S. Open champion, who played very well yesterday. That sort of baffles me. You look on the other side, Luke Donald, who's captaining Europe for the second time in a row. His weakest player, Rasmus Højgaard, he's played one match, and that's it. He's not going to play again until singles. He identified his weakest player, and he's not playing him.
Well, and that's smart. I'm just looking at the questions in the team meetings. If the guys say to the captain, "Hey, give us another chance." You know, yes, we can overcome this. Is that a reason to put them back out?
Well, it depends on what the status of the player is. You know, if it's Scotty Scheffler saying it, that's one thing. If it's Harris English or Colin Morikawa saying it, that's a different thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Now,
there are some players who play better with other players, and they will ask to be partnered with certain people, and the captain's got to take that into consideration. Because chemistry matters. But the fact of like, "Hey, coach, give me another chance," that really depends on a player's status. Like, there's no way you're going to ever sit down Scotty Scheffler. You know, you're going to play him
right.
as much as you can.
Yes.
You're
going to
play Bryson DeChambeau as much as you can, no matter how they're performing out there, because they're your studs, and you need them to come through for you.
Exactly. And I was reading Bryson DeChambeau. I'm glad you brought him up because Peter, I'm not going to pronounce his name right, Shivener, BBC Sports Senior Journalism at Bethpage right now, on Bryson DeChambeau, rings out from the round the back of the 16th green after his approach shot puts him in pole position. "What does Brown do for you?" is among the bizarre barbs aimed at Fitzy from the notoriously noisy New Yorkers. Bryson wanders over to the fans who greet him with his song, and he revels, fist pumping and demanding more from his fans. It's just interesting. Some guys love that sort of thing, like Bryson DeChambeau obviously does. Some guys would just like melt, I think. Tell us about what we're not seeing it right now. I started watching this morning, 3 o'clock. But what is the sense that you get from all the fans and their raucous behavior?
Yeah, there's a fine line in how players react to it. It can be a motivating thing for you when they're heckling you. It can also get you out of your game at times. I've seen Rory McIlroy go both ways with that. He hit one of the best shots he hit all day when he was being heckled on the 16th hole, and he stuffed a great shot out of the rough to about 4 feet. But I've seen him at other times get rattled by there, and Rory will sometimes engage with the fans a little bit too much. He gave some fans who were chanting something incredibly rude to him yesterday, and he gave them the one-finger salute, you know, and I think sometimes you just got to stay away from that. DeChambeau thrives off of the chaos.
Doesn't he?
He loves it. He loves that. But for the other players, it's a fine line to walk. Tyrell Hatton's another guy. It can really get him going, but it can also throw him off his game because his fuse is incredibly short.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and that they got to know themselves well enough to know when to get in there and when to definitely stay away. It's been fun reading some of the things that people have said, and it's almost more interesting than what the guys on television are saying. Not that they're not doing a good job. It's just there just seems to be some of the guys who are reporting are able to get inside where the guys on television, they don't get all that information. But when I opened up my computer and I saw when I was setting up here in the studio, a 101.1 FM, 8.5 to 3.5, you know, 8.5 to 3.5, that's a huge difference. And it's all, yeah. Please.
Yeah, you know, I think the TV guys are. I think there are people whispering in their ears to put a happy face on everything. You know?
And, yes.
And they're sort of trying to do that. But, yeah, I would think the United States almost has to sweep the best ball in the afternoon. If they sweep it, then it's 8.5, 7.5 going to singles. If they lose just one match, it's 9.5, 6.5. That's a 3-point lead. You know, that's, you know, 4 points is the biggest anybody's ever come back from. I think if Europe manages a split this afternoon, a 2-2 split, it's 10.5, 5.5, and that's a massive, massive deficit to try to overcome. So I think that's what Europe's looking for right now. And if you look at it, they put their top players out early in those first two matches. They got McIlroy, Rose, Fleetwood out in the first two matches. They want to get a couple of points early and then just be able to coast into singles play tomorrow.
Awesome. All right. So today on television, the Ryder Cup TV schedule, the foursomes were out, of course, very early this morning, 7:10. And these are long days, aren't they?
They are. I mean, you know, they were yesterday's play was over 11 hours. You know, it started at 7 in the morning and ended at 6 in the evening. It is a long day. And you know, you're looking at, for Europe, you're going to see John Rahm, Tommy Fleetwood, Roy McIlroy play every match. All five matches.
Yeah.
They're resting. The only guy in the 40s on either team is Justin Rose, and he's rested one session each day. You know, and for the Americans, you're going to see Scheffler and DeChambeau out there for every match. So it's a lot of golf for these guys. I mean, you figure they're playing, not every match is going 18 holes, but essentially you're playing 36 holes, 36 holes, and 18
yes,
holes. That's a lot of golf in 3 days.
No kidding. DeChambeau, do you think he'd come back to the PGA Tour? Would the PGA Tour want him back?
I think the PGA Tour would want him back. I think that they got to figure out two things. One, when does his contract end with LIV Golf?
Uh-huh.
And two, what's his penalty for leaving? Because if you bring him back and he walks away with $60 million or whatever it is of
yes.
live money in his back pocket
yes.
and doesn't have to pay any penalty, those players who didn't go to LIV Golf are not going to be very happy about that.
Yeah. So and forgive me, guys, if you're waiting for the live TV coverage, it's 7 to 6 on NBC, 7 a.m. all times Eastern. So, you know, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning. Record. And then there's streaming, too, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., again, all times Eastern. Fubo, it's try for free, this suggests. RyderCup.com is another place to find it. Then Sunday singles starts a little bit later. Thank goodness, in the 6 o'clock hour here in Hawaii, 12:02 p.m. Eastern. A live coverage is from 12 to 6 on NBC, streaming again 12 to 6 on Fubo and RyderCup.com. So a lot to see and a lot to take in and just enjoy. Question about Bethpage Black. Some people were actually saying, Yucko, why are we playing? Why are they doing this? A big mistake. What's your take?
I think it's a great golf course. I covered two U.S. Opens there, 2002, 2009, it's really a brilliant golf course, and I think that they've set it up. You know, the American captain can set the course specifics up any way he wants, and Keegan Bradley has set it up for his guys who don't drive the ball particularly straight. So they've got wide fairways, and the rough is not all that penalizing. So he's made it that way. I think the PGA of America has done a really good job of setting it up for match play because they're giving them a lot of accessible hole locations. And you want to see that. You want to see birdie fests out there in these team competitions. You want everybody to play aggressive. Now, one of the other things to the PGA of America, to the USGA, when they had opens there that makes Bethpage really attractive,
mm-hmm.
it's 20 miles to New York City. So you are selling a boatload of corporate hospitality tents there.
Oh.
There's a whole lot of money coming in this week with corporate hospitality.
What's up with the $15 beer?
Well, $750 one-day tickets, too.
So. Yeah, then there were problems with the number of people trying to get there, and people were saying, stop the bus, I want to walk. That must have been, on that first day, quite the experience to be a part of. On a completely different We're talking about golf. We're talking about Ryder Cup. I want to know about conceding. Does that happen in the Ryder Cup?
That's part of the mind game that you play out there. You know, you may give 3-foot putts over the first 12 holes of the match, but not give 3-foot putts over the last 6 holes of the match. And, it's like Seve Ballesteros used to be brilliant that way of like, he'd give you a putt, give you a putt, give you a putt. Then about number 13, he'd sort of say, I got to see you make this one now, you know. And so it's a way you get into a player's head. And also sometimes, and there have been a couple of incidences of this already, sometimes you're used to playing stroke play and you make your putt, then you just sort of wander off and you don't think that the other guy's got a 2-foot putt there and you forget to give it to him. I've seen that happen also. But the concessions on the greens is part of the mind game of match play. And I love match play. I adore it. I think it's just golf at its purest best. Instead of it being one 18-hole match, it's 18 one-hole matches, and that's just fun to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. I enjoy it a lot, too. I just, I'm just amazed at how long they play and how well they play, for the most part. You know, they're working hard. And this gentleman who was writing about concessions, the intrigue over freebies has become oddly pervasive and distinctly American as a test of respect or friendship. Despite the situations involving golfers fighting to beat each other in a match, gimme gawking has even spread to crowds and television as soon as a putt is close match has finished rolling out in a close match before it's even finished rolling out. Announcers regularly speculate about whether the next putt should be given. Is there nothing else to talk about? But no, it is interesting. It's intriguing. And it is a mind game, as you say.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I grew up playing mostly stroke play and not match play, and we didn't give each other anything. You know? We played the game where you got to get the ball in the hole.
Yes.
Match play is a whole different thing. And in match play, again, different than stroke play, your opponent controls your golf ball. You know, your opponent tells you when you can pick it up, when you can't, tells you when you can mark it, when you can't. And that's not true in stroke play, but it's a whole different mindset in match play. And I think that's one of the advantages the Europeans always have in these team competitions, Ryder Cup, Solheim Cup. They play more match play in Europe. And you have to make a mental adjustment when you get to match play. You have to make that adjustment to, we're not playing an 18-hole match. We're playing 18 one-hole matches. You got to be more aggressive, particularly on the greens, because a lot of times the second putt isn't going to count. You know, it's not going to matter. So you got to try to make the first putt. You know, it's ridiculous almost to ever leave a putt short in match play. You got to attack the hole.
That's why those shoulders drop when they're close, yeah, but not, you know, in. It was like, all of a sudden, and Paul McGinley went on in this. I don't even have the author's name. I feel bad about that. But one of the common denominators of great match players is that they don't expect anything. If you expect something to happen and it doesn't, it controls you mentally.
Well, one of the things that I was always taught in match play is you essentially should expect your opponent to make every shot. So you're never surprised when they do. You know, there was a thing early this morning when both the Americans and the Europeans missed I guess it was number 14, the par 3. And they missed it left, and they were in the rough. And John Rahm had an impossible stance. There was no way he was going to make par from there. And he chips it in for birdie.
Wow.
You know, you have to mentally prepare yourself in match play to expect the unexpected. Never be surprised by what your opponent's going to do. You know, one of the things Luke Donald, the captain of the European team, did very brilliantly in practice, he had his players play with headphones on with crowd noise in their ears so they could get used to what it was going to be like to be out there with a hostile crowd around you. And, and remember, the last 4 times, I believe, that the home team has won in a rout. You know, it's been a while. I think it's been since 2000. Well, in Medina, Europe won there. But so it's hard to win on the road. It's one of the hardest things, I think, to do in golf. And Donald did a great job of preparing his players mentally for what the atmosphere was going to be like.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, I it's raucous. We don't see that much on television, though. They're really focusing it on the play, at least what I was able to see this morning.
Well, yeah, they're sort of filtering out some of the more obscene chants.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, this is also cool from McGinley. It's a sign of weakness and insecurity that you expect to be given whatever length putt it is. You've got to be.
Yes. When I'm playing match play, yes. I can tell early on. When I got an opponent who's sort of like looking at me like, is that good? I know I got the guy. You know, if you're begging for putts to be given to you, you know, you're in trouble. So that's one of the things you got to, you sort of test your opponent out early on. Like, you know, but when they start groveling for the gimme concession, then you know you got them.
It's a mental, a truly mental game when it comes to match play.
Match play is very personal. You know, when you're playing stroke play, you're playing against 155 other players in a field. When you're playing match play, in singles, you're playing one other guy. In the team format, you're playing two other guys. Yeah. That's it. You know, your match is confined to your foursome on or your twosome on the golf course. You're not playing against the rest of the field. It's very, very personal, and it's easy to take the interaction with your opponent in a very personal way.
Fantastic. Fantastic. We've learned so much. Now, you know, if what did you, when you came to the table this morning to talk, was there something that you wanted specifically to bring up that I haven't given you an opportunity to?
No, you pretty much covered it all. I mean, I sort of thought going into today that all Europe needed to do today was to break even. Going into singles, and they'd be in a really strong position. They'd have a 3-point lead. They actually went out and were able to build on that lead, you know, to where it's a 5-point lead now. So now, if they can maintain the lead exactly where it is right now, then they would go in. They would have, what would they have? They'd have 10.5 points going into singles. So they only would need to win 3.5 points.
Wow.
To keep the cut. 3.5 out of 12. That's all they would need.
Wow. Wow. Well, I think this is terrific because so many times the American team is given so much in expectations where, you know, and it's natural. And the Europeans are showing us a little something, something, something. We're just as
well. The good thing is you want it to be, you want it to be competitive. You want it to be close. And I have a feeling it's going to get closer than it is right now, because singles is always the format that the Americans do their best in.
Okay.
What they can't afford to do anymore today is they got to go 3-1 at worst in this afternoon match, but they really need to go 4-0.
That's the four balls coming up, session four?
Yep, four balls. Yep.
All right. Okay. And Rory McIlroy with Shane Lowry up against Justin Thomas with Cameron Young, Tommy Fleetwood and Justin Rose up against Scottie Scheffler and Bryson DeChambeau, John Rahm and Sepp Straka up against J.J. Spaun and Xander Schauffele, and Victor Hovland and Matt Fitzpatrick up against Sam Burns and Patrick Cantlay. That's going to be something to see. Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse, Ron. It's always fun talking with you. I get so much information. I learned things. Thank you.
Always a pleasure to be on with you, Danielle. Aloha.
Aloha. We'll be back after this. We're going to talk golf a little bit more after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
No high fives for me? What
is up? I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
guess what? It's Aloha Power's week-long sale. They've extended it. It's time to retire those big box tools, maybe, because you know what? Maruyama is on sale, up to 25% off. Riding and walking mowers, chainsaws, whackers, trimmers, and a whole lot more. And you know what? We have service. And we have parts and we've got accessories for every rider. That is from home to commercial sized, you know, it's those gigantic ones, combines. And at home, you certainly want this nice one that you can just ride along and get it done. Mow it, blow it, bag it, done. Get what you need at Aloha Power Equipment, Evie next to the Costco gas station and in Waipahu.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 coach certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family, invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box, see that view, you'll know why Hoipu Bay makes any day special. Come, join the aloha at Hoipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
What's a great way to shape up your golf? Polish your swing at the Newtown Golf Driving Range located in Aiea. Stop by to warm up before your round or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newtown Cafe and check out the Asau Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repairs. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun.
And you should know there's a flood watch in effect until midnight tonight for Niihau and Kauai on Oahu and Maui and the Big Island. Well, I'll have the Big Island last because it's mainly Oahu and Lanai and Molokai and Maui. Partly sunny, windward and mauka sections, scattered showers through the day. We're going to have some isolated showers on the leeward side reported from the, you know, the folks who put this altogether, the state forecasters. High today, 84 to 89. The easterly winds, 15 to 30. Tonight, it's going to be partly cloudy, isolated showers, windward and mauka. And the low, 72 to 77. Wow, that sounds nice, doesn't it? Easterlies, 15 miles per hour. And Sunday, if you'd like to play around, mostly cloudy, windward and mauka, isolated showers during the day. High between 85 and 90, and the lows back down to 72 and 77, up to easterly winds 15 to 20. So on the Big Island, Hawaii Island, mostly cloudy, isolated showers in the morning, and then scattered showers, isolated thunderstorms in the afternoon. High between 83 and 88. I like that temperature better. Variable winds to 15 miles per hour, becoming northeasterly, 15 miles per hour in the afternoon. All right.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
John Peter Hagan, play away, please. The tale of the sale of golf's greatest icon. He's an author, a real estate developer, an architect, a member of Hazeltine, an apartment in Paris, I'm so jealous, and a few rounds under his belt on the Albatross at Le Golf National, and projects around the world. His personal mission, became securing that St. Andrew's Old Course Starters Box. He was doing a development in California, and he got it through an auction on September 10, 2001. Welcome into the clubhouse, John Hagan.
Good morning, Danielle.
Yes, and this week you were following the Boys and Girls Junior Ryder Cup, and maybe we're not going to win hear the Ryder Cup, Ryder Cup. But U.S. won, right? The Little Junior Ryder Cup presented, the 13th presented. It's wonderful. In Glen Cove, New York, 17.5 to 12.5 victory over Team Europe. Awesome.
It was awesome, and it's interesting that the Junior Ryder Cup has got a lot of history to it. For instance, Roy McIlroy, Scottie Scheffler, and Sergio Garcia were all on our Junior Ryder Cup team.
Wow.
Well, Sergio on European, of course, but Jordan Spieth was a Junior Ryder Cupper also. So there's some history and some heritage there, and I think some of those winners and the way they played are going to some of the current today players on the real Ryder Cup ought to be hiring or looking for jobs on the mowers of your sponsors.
So let's see now, 12 points available in 12 single matches, of course. Historic Nassau Country Club. Now, I've never been there. Did I mispronounce that possibly? And
no, you said it right. I have not played it either, and I didn't know anything about it until this tournament. But it's a fine club out on Long Island.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, the kids were supposed to play their final round on the black course, uh-huh. But because of bad weather, it sounded somewhat like your weather forecast a little bit ago. It was inclement, and they had to change the schedule for play and whatever. So they played all three rounds on that course. But it's a tough course, and it's worthy. The young girls just outshone everybody else, and in Junior Ryder Cup there are boys and girls on the same team. But two of them have recently made a commission to go to Stanford, and they're going to be there. And one of them is high ranked in the U.S. and in the world, named Asterix Talley.
Right.
Who is only a junior in high school. I'm sorry, she's a sophomore in high school. She's only 16.
Wow.
And she won all of her matches. She's probably ranked 3 in the world after what she did there. The other gal that's coming along with her, Miss Feng, is also committed to Stanford. So I think you could assume that Tiger Woods and the ex-Secretary of State had a lot to do with that.
You think they helped?
Well, those negotiations. Yeah.
That's wonderful. And, of course, Tiger went to Stanford, so he'd want the best to follow in his footsteps. Stanford University, that's really something to be able to make the transition and to have a game that will actually get you through college. Some of the reasons why it's such a good idea to get into a sport is because you can get, you know, all of your, if you're good enough, you can get all your expenses paid for. And because you're so good for the school's reputation, as it were, like Tiger Woods.
Well, that's true. And the other thing is that don't forget that these kids that are playing so well, as the kids that were in the peer championship with the senior tour players 2 weeks ago, all of them had GPAs of over 3.5.
Wow.
In addition to having the golfing skills that they've achieved at such a young age. Remarkable.
It is. And I don't think we give our young athletes enough credit, because not only are they traveling, whether it's volleyball, football, golf, they're traveling around to all these different tournaments to perform in their sport. And they're still doing their homework like anybody else, right? They've got to get their work done. They have to keep their grades up, because if they lose their grades, then they lose being on the team or playing their preferred sport like golf. And
well,
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you. Jump in.
Well, I talked to Asterix Caddy this morning. She's on, sophomore in high school. She's on a plane coming back from Ryder Cup as we speak, and she's got a big test Monday morning. So she was looking forward to get on the plane to study. And it's remarkable.
Yeah, it was exactly what I was thinking. You know, get me out of the crowd. I got to be able to focus, sit down and put it all together so that I'm ready for this test. And that's the thing that these kids are learning, you know. And sometimes I worry that they don't have any free time, but I'm sure that they, you know, somehow that's worked in there some way, because goodness, it would drive you crazy. But with the United States team winning the 13th Junior Ryder Cup presented by HPE today, or rather not today, but when they won in Glen Cove, New York, 17.5 to 12.5. That was where I was going. That's 5 points. Kind of like the U.S. versus Great Britain and Ireland. You know, it's interesting to see these differences.
Yeah, and the differences are one thing, but also realize you've got boys and girls both with the juniors.
This is true,
and the girls are playing probably better than the boys at these age groups.
Let's see now. U.S. team captain Susie Whaley, a PGA past president and master professional. We were down first thing this morning for a long time, and these kids just fought so hard. And they got the job done. They saw a sea of blue on the leaderboard and knew exactly where they stood. And they showed grit, perseverance, and did not give up. That's the ship.
Yeah, well, Fang was down 2 shots in the finals, in the singles. After 9, she ran off 3 birdies, 2 pars, and 3 more birdies.
Wow.
To bury her opponent.
Wow. You see, that's
so, great. You know, that's eight birdies in competition in 12 holes.
Pretty amazing, right?
Very amazing.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They're not playing forward tees. They're playing, I guess these days we would call them the regular tees.
Okay.
So they're not playing the tips.
Right.
But they're playing the back of the regular tees.
Yeah.
And there was this girl in, I think I mentioned it to you before, but in the Pier Championship on Pebble Beach, hit driver 2 iron and 18 and made eagle.
Wow.
Yeah.
Made an eagle. Hello. That's pure insurance.
You and I have forgotten what a 2 iron is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, please. That was the Pure Insurance Championship impacting first tee at Pebble
That's
Beach.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. And as the PGA Tour says, it's pleased to have Pure Insurance as the title sponsor of this uniquely, truly unique, time-honored event. Pure is recognized nationally for its uncompromising commitment to excellence in the insurance industry, and their values pair well with our efforts in putting forth quality competition and charitable impact to create a successful partnership. Well, that's obviously what they did. And team captain Stephen Gallagher, he said, "I'm proud of my team," because, of course, the Europeans did not win. The United States did, if you're just joining us. "They fought extremely hard until the end. And they are not only fantastic golfers, but also fantastic human beings. Their body language, commitment to the team from every one of them was so professional." It's beautiful to see young people growing up with...
Well, that's true. You know, and these kids that you're just mentioning now, they all came out of First Tee. They're all part of the First Tee program.
Yeah.
I'd sure like to see a couple of Hawaiian children in the tournament next year. But no matter what happened, losing or winning, they're all student athletes anyway.
That's right. Yes, and they do it with a panache. There you go. Haven't used that word in a while. John Peter Hagan, author of Play Away Please, The Tale of the Sale of Golf's Greatest Icon. And what's your next book? Is it the second book from Random House?
At the moment, the title is Pebble Beach and Other Foibles.
Foibles!
You haven't heard that word in a while.
No.
Either,
oh, this is going to be fun. And are you, so you're still working? That's the part of the trilogy? Pebble Beach,
yep.
And Other Chance Encounters?
Certainly am.
Excellent. Thank you so much for getting us in touch with the young people who are playing on the Ryder Cup. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Aloha.
Play well.
You too. Coming back with Kalani Kia'aina after this. He's at Prince Resorts, Assistant Operations Manager, and we're talking about the new Par 3 course. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamila Road on the Everside. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliance signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with Need a Gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mailed to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate, or that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club radio show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's Rick at RadioGolfClub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 Coach Certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Hey, Bryson DeChambeau nearly holed out an albatross to get the U.S. back level, at least his, I'm not talking about jumping back into being tied, and he's, it takes something truly special for the Americans to win holes this week, and Bryson DeChambeau came up with just that on the par 5 fourth as he nearly holed out with his second from the fairway for an albatross. Instead, it was a gimme eagle to win the hole. Tommy Fleetwood couldn't hole a mid-range eagle putt in that match. That match is back level, so that's good news. And I did not tell you tee times this morning. Makalei on the Big Island, there's an 836, a 920, and a 1008, and the Lost Carts are out on the golf course. Volcano Golf Club, there's an 832, 924, and a 1048. On Kauai at Poipu, there's an 840, a 930, a 1020. The Castleman Group, they're out. Have a great time. Kauai Lagoons, 906 and a 1048. And then on Oahu, we have at Pearl a Kalaauau, 848 and 926 and 1050. Hawaii Kai has an 852, a 958 and a 1012. Turtle Bay has an 832, 1028, in 1206. And now we're going to go to Royal Hawaiian Country Club, 836 908 1032. We've also at Effa Beach Golf Course. We've got an 830, a 930, and a 1030. Really easy to remember. 840 at Hawaii Prince is the first one that's open. There's also a 914 and a 1038. And the Effa Men's Club are out on the golf course. And may you all hit the sweet spot every time. And now let's go to Maui at Wailea on the Gold, 840, 1040, 1140. Emerald Course has a 950, a 1030, and an 1150. The Blue Course, where the, let's see now, the swimming skirts, they're on the golf course. The Blue Course has a 940, a 1050, and an 1140. And here we are at Maui Nui. There's a 914, a 1024, and an 1136. May you all hit the sweet spot every time.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Well, Kalani Kia'aina, Assistant Operation Manager, Prince Resorts, welcome into the clubhouse, Kalani.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. So you've got this a new par 3 course at the Prince Resorts. Tell us where it is, how to get there, and we'll talk about what it's all about.
Hawaii Prince Golf Club. We currently have 3 9-hole courses, and what we've done is actually just make some shorter tee boxes for each of those courses. Currently, we've done 2 of the 3 9s that you could play, 2 separate tee boxes, just depending on what lengths you want to try out, uh-huh, and test your whole game out, basically.
It sounds like it sounds fun, because if you're not feeling like you're up to, you know, getting out there and really hitting, going to a par 3, you know, and using the courses you've told us, that gives you some relaxation. And also some, you know, learning a little bit. What do you think?
Oh, definitely. I grew up playing, learning the game through par 3 courses here on the island. You definitely use all your clubs, all your shots, just not the first drive. but other than that, yes, everything else is definitely being used.
Your dad, Ron Kia'aina Jr., is that your dad?
Yes.
Yeah, golf pro at Sheraton Makaha, Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kiahuna Golf Course, and Mamala Bay Golf Course. When did you start learning golf? Was it with dad?
I probably started going to the range with him when I was about 4. And then he cut down some clubs for me, and I'd tag along to him to work and pretty much spend the entire day out at the course just either playing or practicing.
Did you know you were practicing?
No, not at all. It was just fun. Yeah. You know, going to go hit balls, going to try to make a putt into the hole. And I had, you know, kind of free reign, so I could go to any of those places, and I was the only kid out there, probably.
I think that's wonderful. So you were 4 years old. Did you have friends who joined you, or were you pretty much a loner?
Eventually, yes. At the beginning, it was just mainly with mom and dad, yeah, you know, just with them, watching and trying to copy what dad did.
Well, you had a really good teacher.
Yes. That is hard to come by.
Yeah.
In anything you do.
Yeah. Yeah. Really good teacher. Was he patient?
Yes. you know, you have to be in golf. Nobody starts this game good. You know, we're all start from the beginning, you know, hitting the ball 5 feet, 5 yards, anywhere. And it does take time.
Yeah, it truly. But there's a lot going on at Prince Resorts. with the Oahu Junior Golf Association, OJGA, and the Hawaii Junior Golf Association, HJGA, speaking of children, you know, ages 9 through 17. They don't start at 4. You got to be 9. Tell us about these two. Tell us about these two organizations.
So both of them, both organizations hold golf tournaments for kids at different courses throughout the entire state. I started playing with them when I was 9 as well, and went all the way through high school up to 17 every year.
Did you ever want to be like a professional player, like what we see at Ryder Cup or on the PGA Tour?
Oh, of course. It was always the dream to go play the best courses in the world, travel, compete with the best.
Uh-huh.
So, of course, that was a dream, you know, on the putting green, trying to make the putt to win the Masters. And
yes.
Of course, the celebration after, too, was
Yay.
Ready to go.
Yeah. That sounds... And so you did play, didn't you, go to college? Or you were on a golf team at Iolani?
Yes, played high school at Iolani, then went to college and played at Rice University, which is a very small Division I school in Houston, Texas.
Uh-huh.
You know, got to learn to play at the next level, and the best part was traveling. You know, that was one of the ways I got to see different courses, go to different cities, and see how these courses were built, basically.
Yeah. I'll open your eyes. You really get to see what's going on in the world, and you come back with a whole different vision about, you know, what the planet is all about and different opportunities that you might have. But you stayed home.
I did stay up in Texas for about 12 years after college. And then finally moved home in 2006. Just wanted to be home again, you know, be near the water as well.
Yeah. A lot of people say that, you know, you miss the ocean. Now, what did you do those 12 years? Were you teaching? Were you playing?
Up there, I was mainly teaching, helping to run a couple of other golf courses as private courses, and just getting my feet wet. Basically, in the whole golf business.
Well, tell us about the Prince Resorts. How many courses are there, and where can I play?
So, Prince Resorts, we have 3 golf courses within the whole state. One is here in Eva. We have a 27-hole facility, which is a little different than the normal 18.
Mm-hmm.
But it gives us a little more flexibility and able to accommodate a lot more people. The other 2 golf courses are on the Big Island in Kona, Mauna Kea Resort and Hapuna Beach.
Those are beautiful.
Yes, yeah. I'll go there every once in a while just to see the different scenery there.
Yeah, absolutely. So you enjoy you being the operations or assistant operations manager for Prince Resorts. You must travel to those different golf courses.
Yes. We get to go out there every once in a while. Being an employee, we get some benefits as well. But every time, it's a treat.
Yeah, I bet.
Kona's kind of hot, though. But other than that, it's beautiful.
Wait a second, weren't you in Houston?
Yeah. So definitely used to that as well.
Yeah, indeed. Okay. So you've been with Hawaii Prince Golf Club since 2006. And yes. I am now going to ask you, do you have children?
No children.
Oh, do you have any nieces or nephews that you take to the golf course?
We'll go to the driving range here and there.
Uh-huh.
They like to just hit around, but not really play the entire 18.
Yeah, okay. So you haven't found your next pupil to teach and...
Oh, no prodigies quite yet. Everybody's
Thank
still...
you.
You know, in the work.
Okay, so what would you say to somebody if they said, you know, I don't know What's that golf course like? That Mauna Kea? Who designed that?
Mauna Kea, I want to say the Robert Trent Jones
yes.
design.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, one of the very legends of golf architecture.
Truly, truly, indeed. Which is there a favorite you have? Papuna, Mauna Kea, or Eva?
Out of the three, Mauna Kea, definitely. It's been one of our top courses in the state ever since it was built. Scenery is amazing. It's right next to the ocean, and if you ever get there, you won't forget number three. It's a par three on the ocean over there, their wow. signature hole.
Wow. I think I've seen pictures. I haven't actually been on the course. But that's, it's, you know what I mean? It's like, wow, I just know what I can do and what I can't do. And the 27 holes, do you break that down into, can you take some holes out so that you can work on it? Tell us about the 27
holes.
Oh, definitely.
Holes. Yeah? Mm-hmm. With the 27, like through normal day, we have set rotations. That way the flow of play goes easily. But of course, if maintenance needs to do some extra work or some kind of project going on, we can shut down 1-9 if needed.
Right on, and still be 18 holes. That's great. It's a really good concept. Who designed that?
Arnold Palmer.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he's one of the best people in the world.
One of you.
Yeah, he's amazing. Amazing. Just meeting him, he makes you feel like you've known each other for a long, long time. That's the kind of guy he is. You know what I mean? And he's got this.
Got a chance to meet him once.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing.
He just opened. He's
so downward.
He's open. And he smiles at you, and there's a twinkle in his eye, and he's all about life and just loving it. Well, see, there's a really good reason to just get out and explore the golf courses. Because all these great architects have been here and done that. How about Hapuna? Who designed Hapuna?
Oh, Hapuna, I'm not sure.
Oh, dear. Oops, I'm sorry.
No, it's one I haven't really played much, so definitely don't know quite as much about that one.
But isn't Hapuna on, like, I think of it as, right, being on the edge of the mountain somehow, as it comes in. It is right. It's beautiful.
It's hilly. It's rolling. It's nice and green. That contrast with the lava is awesome.
Okay, so I'm asking the world. Oh my goodness, you know what? Hapuna Golf Course was designed by Arnold Palmer and Ed Cie.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, way open to the public in 1992. So there's another golf course. If you haven't played Hapuna, you have to go and play. If you haven't, you see, you haven't played these wonderful golf courses, you've got to go play. All right? That's fantastic. Now, how do the kids that you might refer, the Oahu Junior Golf Association and Hawaii Junior Golf Association, HJGA and OJGA. How do parents get their kids signed up to learn this wonderful game?
Definitely check out their websites. They'll have the information to contact them and ask questions on how it's run, scheduling, because a lot of it's during the summer.
Right on.
Whenever all the kids are off, and they keep them busy with tournaments week after week.
Good stuff. All right. Kalani Kia Aina, is there anything you wanted to bring to the table that I didn't give you a chance to talk about?
Well, I think, check out the par three course. It's a great way, another way to play golf, aside from full-length regulation courses or going to the driving range. A big issue is always time, and with the 9 holes for the par 3, definitely a couple hours less than playing the regular 18.
That's a good point.
Time's an issue for everybody.
Yeah, Absolutely. So that's the par three is open all the time.
It is open on weekdays from 2:30 and after. Before we tried to keep it in the afternoon.
Okay, I'm glad I asked. 2:30 and after, only weekdays. All right.
Yes.
Awesome. Kalani, you got to keep me in the loop and let me know what's going on at Hawaii Prince, okay?
Definitely will do.
Yeah. I mean, not just Hawaii Prince. You, all the different golf courses. And you have to go play all of those golf courses we just talked about and come back and tell me.
Yeah.
You got to go to Hapuna.
Sure, why not?
Why not? Thank you, Kalani.
Thank you, Danielle. Have a good one.
You too. Aloha. We're going to come back and we're going to get back to the Ryder Cup. Ryan Harrington, managing editor, golfdigest.com. He's reported from major championships for 20 years. So something tells me he's, you know, he's been watching. I bet. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
I'm Colin Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghaus, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
Well, first of all, you know, you've got to get the most out of your day. It's most important for you to have rest and relaxation. And if you go to Aloha Power's week-long sale, you'll be able to get more work done in a shorter period of time because you're using the tools that they have. And right now, some of those tools are on sale up to 25% off. Maruyama, anyone? Time to retire, maybe, you know, your big box tools are getting kind of beat up. Maruyama is on sale, up to 25% off. Riding and walking mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, trimmers, Maruyama. We have service and parts and accessories for every rider, from home to commercial sized. Yes, you know, the one that you can ride along, get things done quickly and get it, mow it, blow it, and bag it, and done, or those gigantic commercial-sized ones that you need to get that entire field that's been growing way too high in Hapuna, so I can't see the ocean. Yes, from home to commercial-sized, mow it, blow it, bag it, and be done with it. Get what you need at Aloha Power Equipment, Iwile, next to the Costco gas station, and in Waipahu.
What's a great way to shape up your golf? Polish your swing at the Newtown Golf Driving Range located in Aiea. Stop by to warm up before your round or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newtown Cafe and check out the Asau Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repairs. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun. If you want more consistency and more distance in your golf swing, schedule a session with Coach Claude Brousseau, PGA Master and Director of Player Development at the Wailea Golf Academy. He's ranked number one teacher in Hawaii by Golf Digest since 2019 and three-time PGA Teacher of the Year. Claude will simplify your game and make you better. Scratch golfer or just beginning, call Claude at 808-856-9458 or by email, claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's 808-856-9458 and have more fun playing golf.
K-O-R-L, Waianae, Honolulu.
Man, I thought that was in the cup. It bounced out. I've been robbed.
Now, back to the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Hey, thank you so much. Ryan Harrington, managing editor, GolfDigest.com. He's reported from major championships for 20 years, spearheading the company's college and amateur golf coverage as well. So we're trying to get through to him right now. I thought I should take us back just a little bit. The 2025 Ryder Cup live updates available at CBSSports.com. It's being seen. You can see it on NBC right now. Started like, I don't know, 1 o'clock this morning. It felt like maybe it was more like 2 or 3. But it's been going on for a while. And I was talking to Ron Cyrak earlier in the show. These are long days. I mean, we're talking about, you know, it feels like 36 holes of golf day after day. And then the singles matches and you're in all the different things that you've got to do. So we're just waiting to see if we can get through to Ryan. Meantime, from Brian Shrivner, oh, Bryson DeChambeau rings out from round the back of the 16th green after his approach shot puts him in pole position. I never would have thought of using those names. Words, pole position. I'm not a horse. What does Brown do for you is among the bizarre barbs aimed at Fitzy from the notoriously noisy New Yorkers. And as Ron mentioned earlier, they've been, toning down, turning the volume down on some of the more rowdy things that people are saying. It's truly incredible. So what, you'd like to see it? We're in? Okay, great. So Ryan's here, so I'm going to just finish this thought. 2025 Ryder Cup TV schedule for you right here, right now. All right, so day two, Saturday, we've gone through the foursomes for the most part. Now we're heading into the session, the four balls, probably started already, based on 12:25 p.m. over there, which is 6 hours. So they're underway. Live TV coverage. Let's put it this way. It started at 7 a.m. Eastern, which is 1 a.m. Hawaii. And it goes to 6 p.m. Eastern on NBC. There's also streaming 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Fubo. It's a try for free. And RyderCup.com. And then the singles match, 12:02. Why the 02? I'll have to ask Ryan. Why 12:02 on Sunday is when the singles matches. Live TV coverage is 12 to 6 Eastern on NBC. And again, you can try same time Fubo for free. All right, let's welcome him into the clubhouse. Ryan Harrington, the managing editor of GolfDigest.com, who has spearheaded major championships. Actually, he's just reported from major championships for 20 years, spearheading the company's college and amateur golf coverage. I lost my line. Welcome into the clubhouse, Ryan.
Hey, it's my pleasure. How are you doing?
Oh, good. Really good. I mean, it's exciting. The Ryder Cup blown. Well, I guess I'm kind of surprised that they're ahead so much. I'm happy. It's an interesting contest. Your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I definitely am surprised that they've been able to, you know, take such a commanding lead here. The Ryder Cup over the last, you know, decade or so has been really a home field advantage kind of an event, and it's been lopsided wins up by the home team. So I wouldn't have anticipated the road team here, Europe, coming in, and particularly given what was anticipated about the crowds here at Bethpage Black, and be able to, you know, kind of take command and really quiet the crowds, all things considered. You're getting a little chippiness in some of these matches for sure, and I know Rory McIlroy has been getting the brunt of the boos and cheers and worse. But right. Nevertheless, Europe has been able to quiet these people, in all honesty, and has just performed amazingly. The level of their performance has been much better than the Americans, and that explains the lopsided score right now.
That's all it is, right? It's performance. Hello.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. When you get your best players playing well, like Rory McIlroy right now, like Jon Rahm, and unfortunately for the Americans, you know, Scottie Scheffler hasn't won a point yet. Bryson DeChambeau only has like a half. you know, it's performance, and that's what ultimately is going to be the difference here. And right now, you know, the Americans have to, you know, turn things up if they want to rally.
What do you think of our captain? Do you think he's made some questionable picks for putting the guys together?
Yeah, you know, there's been some criticism, and I think rightfully so, of a couple of his foursome matches, and in particular, the Colin Montgomery-Harris English match. You know, analytically, there's a website out there, Data Golf, that's really well respected, that had them as the literally worst foursomes pairing the U.S. could put together. And so having them out there on Friday was a surprise to many, and then they didn't play well. Now, they ran into Rory McIlroy and Tommy Fleetwood, which is, you know, a great, great pair.
Yes.
So, you know, that's part of it. But after the performance that they had there, you know, it would have been really, really surprising, quite honestly, to see them back out again. And sure enough, they were. And sure enough, they were up against Rory and Fleetwood again. And unfortunately, it was the exact same result. And so, you know, there have been a couple questionable decisions in my mind from that standpoint in terms of pairings. But again, it goes back to performance. And quite honestly, you know, in foursomes, Europe made 45 birdies. You know, that's just amazing in all the matches. And, you know, at some point here, you just got to kind of tip your cap and you go, you know, they played better.
Yeah. Bottom line. I'm looking at some of the posts on X, you know, worst period crowd period ever. Ryder Cup 2025. I mean, wait a second. All those people look like what? Drink? Are they drinking $15 beers? I can't believe they're selling beer for $15. The fact that it's $700 to get in, or maybe it's $750, I don't know, just to get a ticket. These people are supposed to be high muckamuckas, as we call them in people with class, you know, if you can afford that. But I guess it doesn't matter whether if you afford it doesn't necessarily mean you've got class. Yes?
No, I think, unfortunately, some people view it the other way. I spent $750. I'm going to pretty much do whatever I want. And it's unfortunate to a certain extent that it's gotten like this. You know, I think this is obviously the fear. And in all honesty, you know, right now it's starting to, I think, perhaps cross the line here. You know, it's affecting play. And that ultimately is where, you know, my concern always was, you know, are people going to shout in somebody's backswing or whatnot? It's one thing to say some nasty stuff, and I'm not condoning that, but okay, yes, that probably was to be expected. But if it's going to start to interrupt play, start to get, you know, really involved in terms of, you know, detrimentally in the outcome of shots and whatnot, that's where I think it crosses the line for sure. And, you know, hopefully that won't be the case. You know, if the Americans can play well this afternoon and tighten it up a little bit and make tomorrow a little bit more interesting, you know, who knows what's going to go on. But ultimately, we were expecting loud crowds. Luke Donald in Europe was expecting loud crowds. Loud crowds, and they and that's what they're going to get. And you know, you're going to get some of the good with the bad, unfortunately.
Here's another one. The U.S. players, in my opinion, not mine, the fellow or woman who wrote this on X, the U.S. players, in my opinion, need to make a stand about their Muppet fans pissed on light beer.
Well, that was a question, though, actually, is how much do the players themselves, in terms of, you know, trying to encourage the home team to make some noise, you know, that is part of the Ryder Cup here. Let's not be naive think that didn't happen in Europe, too.
Right.
But how much do they egg them on, and how much do they have to also themselves say, hey, wait a second, that's crossed the line here. You know, it was interesting. Colin Morikawa at the start of the week, you know, said that they were almost too quiet and really called for people to get a little bit louder here. And and even Keegan Bradley at the start of the tournament had said, hey, you know, it's a fine line here. And so it's tricky. You know, they can't control, obviously, what people are saying. But I do think to a certain extent, you know, this is a game that, you know, prides itself a little bit on some decorum. And if something's going awry, you would hope some of the American players might help try to tamp it down a little bit.
They can all stand in a line and wag their fingers at everybody. No. I get, you know, one of the comments before anything started was that dinner with the, you know, everybody was criticizing the American team for wearing white shoes. And then the other guys were wearing, you know, black tie. It's just been kind of odd, all the criticism that's launched at these guys.
you know, this is such a different event to a certain extent. And I think even from the standpoint of the way people look at it and perceive it and what upsets people versus what would at an ordinary tournament or whatnot. And you know, what is the right decorum and what isn't. And it changes over time. And, I'm not surprised to hear people. I also, if you think about social media, it sometimes is not the it's a lot of people who don't mind shouting behind anonymity. And so you take it all with a grain of salt.
Yes.
You know, I think the players, you know, would be best to not look at any of that stuff this week and just kind of try to go out there and play and do the best they can.
Yes, absolutely. Do I? And here, from Luke Kerr Dineen, I'm totally mispronouncing his name probably.
Nope, you got it right.
Oh, really? Okay, he's, you know, on your team. And So what I was reading is the European Ryder Cup team is light years ahead of the U.S. team in one skill. Specifically, that skill is driving range gamesmanship. And I went, huh? You know, I was forced to tell him that, you know, I had to read it after. What does that mean?
I think to a certain extent, the way people handle themselves literally on the range in the personas that they put on there and kind of, you know, it's not the best analogy, but you know, the pregame, you know, warmups in a basketball game or whatnot,
right.
And the air that, and the confidence people have out there. I mean, you know, people were intimidated by Tiger Woods when they watched him on a driving range before they started and sometimes had an edge just right there. And I think it's trying to come across with an attitude that you're confident in your game and perhaps rattling the other players by going, oh gosh, look at how confident that person is.
Yeah. Apparently, the European team got on the driving range and they positioned themselves, I think it was in the middle so the U.S. team had to get all scrunched up on the side.
Yeah.
So on Wednesday, they were assigned to arrive on the practice range at 9:30 and 15 minutes before the U.S. team. And when they did, the European team parked themselves right in the middle of the driving range. And when the U.S. team arrived at their assigned time 15 minutes later, they were forced to choose to either cram all of their 12 players plus caddies and coaches into a tight spot on the right side of the range or to split up. Not a coincidence, one insider assured me. I thought, you know, that's sneaky.
there's little things like that that go on. I mean, again, this is definitely a different beast. There's a level of, you know, it's been like this throughout its history to a certain extent, a level of gamesmanship, for lack of a better term,
right.
and sometimes chippiness even in that respect. So, you know, you could say good fun. You could say whatever. The Ryder Cup is different. It just really is. And I'm going to chalk it up to that a little bit.
Yeah. Well, yes, absolutely. It is different. It's Ron Syrak was on the show earlier. And we were talking about, you know, the Ryder Cup and how match play is a different game entirely from stroke play, and all the mental games that go on between players over things that I wouldn't even, you know, if somebody points it out to me and then all of a sudden it's glaringly obvious that somebody is taking advantage of another person. Intimidation. Yeah. It's called intimidation on a very polite stage. Yes.
It's totally accurate. And match play, what's interesting is how people have stepped up in match play in this event too, in particular, and really defined their careers. You know, all due respect to Ian Poulter, but he never won a major championship. He's won a lot of events, but something happened when he got to the Ryder Cup and he was a different person and the match play mentality was just different. And that defined him. I mean, that's his legacy to a certain extent. And similarly, Colin Montgomery never won a major, won lots of times over in Europe, but he was a nuisance to the Americans in the Ryder Cup, and that helps, you know, define him. You know, there are a lot of players. You know, Paul McGinley had a very ho-hum career on the European Tour, but won, you know, had a winning point in a Ryder Cup, then became a winning captain in a Ryder Cup, and he's totally looked at it a different way. The match play mentality is different, and it brings out different players, and different players stand out. Tiger Woods struggled in the Ryder Cup, obviously, and so right now Scottie Scheffler's struggling in the Ryder Cup, and this is a guy who is dominant this year on the PGA Tour. So, match play is different, and again, this event just is different.
Yeah, it is. It's wonderful. It's something we look forward to every 2 years. We get to watch the Ryder Cup, and it always brings out the best and the worst in people. Some people are really ready for anything, and it's like Bryson DeChambeau loves the limelight, so they could be singing crazy songs to him, and he'd still be going, bring it on, bring more, you know? But I was looking for scores, and my computer is being just so difficult. It looks to me as though Scottie Scheffler and Bryson DeChambeau are one up through six on Tommy Fleetwood and Justin Rose. Is that possible?
It is possible. Yeah, no, it is possible. The matches right now this afternoon are all kind of tight, and that's obviously a good thing from the American standpoint. Again, they have to win this session. There's no question here. And if they could sweep and obviously cut the lead to one, that's great. But they have to win the session. They have to get that advantage for Europe down to something that's more manageable on Sunday. And then one, they'll feel like they have some momentum behind them, and two, the task on Sunday will be much more achievable, so to speak.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I'm going to do an update here that I just found online because my computer decided to work. The only European lead is Lowry and McIlroy, who are two up in the lead match over Thomas and Young, with the crowd getting really feisty with Rory. McIlroy had to step off his putt on the sixth twice because people were yelling as he was getting ready to play, and that'll be something to monitor as the day progresses. Yesterday, I'm just reading here, he flipped off the crowd in the afternoon. My goodness. This morning, he told a fan to shut up, and he used another word in addition to shut up, before the stuffing the match winning shot on the 16th, and most recently had his step off situation. For those walking with that group, even with those responses, it seems McIlroy has handled himself well, given how much he's getting from the crowd, like in guff. That will undoubtedly continue this afternoon, and we'll see if he and Lowry can continue to silence them with their play. It just seems like we're overdoing it on the crowd level. It just seems like we need to, send those kids home. Ryan?
It'll be interesting to see what happens because, again, this is something to a certain extent that I think everyone was prepared to see happen.
Okay.
And it crosses the line when it gets into interrupting play and whatnot.
Yes.
And I would not be surprised if people begin to become identified and people are thrown out. That's going to be what needs to happen to a certain extent in order to be able to manage this a little bit. And so from that standpoint, it's a shame, obviously. And Rory has done a good job all week. Rory has been the brunt of the crowd, for sure. And he has done a good job all week of letting it, to a certain extent, roll off his back. Now, he had one incident yesterday where he did a gesture to another person. And then obviously the comment this morning, ironically, in almost both instances, his next shot was superb. And so he's been able to kind of quiet the crowd, so to speak, with his play too this week. Here's hoping, obviously, that he keeps his level head as best he can. I hope he realizes Europe is ahead by a lot here. If he can put the blinders on for one more afternoon here, and in all honesty, this lead could be too big for the Americans to catch up on, that would be great. The worst case scenario, obviously, would be reacting too much to this group and almost encouraging it, so to speak.
Thank you. Ryan Harrington, by the way, is managing editor, if you're just joining us, golfdigest.com. He's reported from major championships for 20 years, probably maybe a little longer than that. I'm just getting what I could find on you, spearheading the company's college and amateur golf coverage. Ryan, I was looking at, my history. you haven't been on the show in forever, and I love talking with you. So we have to make amends here.
I'd love to come on. You know, it was funny when you emailed me earlier this week. I'm like, God, it has been a little while. So yes, indeed. Glad to be back, and don't want to be a stranger too much longer. So don't hesitate to reach out.
I will. Tell me what's something that's cooking at Golf Digest that you're not going to tell us everything, but just maybe a little bit about. Is there anything that you got up your sleeve?
Well, we're obviously trying to do the best we can. We've got some great writers on the ground there, Joel Beal and Shane Ryan and Luke Curtin, and like you said, Alex Myers. We've got a good group there trying to find out a little bit more behind the scenes of what exactly is going right for Europe here. Why have they been able to, you know, play so well this week? What have they been doing behind the scenes? You know, I think it's a cliche to a certain extent that there's this group that's tighter than the Americans and whatnot. But there's something obviously that's going on that's allowing them to perform as well as they have been. And so we're working on that, along with working on what's going on with the Americans and why, what's happening there in terms of why are they struggling and what could they do to turn things around? Because there is that potential for sure. It would be an epic comeback, but with the crowd that could be behind them on Sunday, if that was happening, it would become a scene that, you know, might not be like anything we've ever seen watching a golf event.
Watching a staged golf event. Hello, people. I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse. It's been a pleasure, and I will definitely call on you and say, hey, got time? Thank you.
My pleasure, too. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Aloha. All right. So here's one that we've got to give again. We've got the partly cloudy skies in case you want to get out on the golf course, and it's, you know, early. And here in Hawaii, it's only almost 8:26. Excuse me, it's almost 8:27. So today we're going to have partly sunny skies, windward and Mauka, scattered showers through the day. On the leeward side, that would be Honolulu side, isolated showers, maybe high 84 to 89, easterlies to 15. I actually see some grasses grinning green. It's really incredible in Honolulu. Saturday night, partly cloudy, isolated showers, windward and Mauka, lows 72 to 77, easterly winds about 15 miles per hour. Sunday, tomorrow, mostly cloudy, windward and Mauka, isolated showers during the day, scattered showers at night, and the high today between 85 and 90. Gee, where can I go hide? Lows 72 to 77, easterlies 15 to 25 miles per hour. And Big Island, it's going to be mostly cloudy, isolated showers in the morning, then those scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms in the afternoon, the high between 83 and 88, variable winds to 15, becoming what I'd like to see, northeasterlies about 15 miles per hour in the afternoon. Thank you to everybody who make this show possible. We welcome the Newtown Driving Range. Warm up before your round, or, you know, there's nothing like just getting off work, taking just a couple of clubs or your whole bag out, if you want to drag a bag out, and getting down to wind down after work. The Newtown Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. You'll have good golf, good food, and good fun. It's Aloha Power's week-long celebration. Next to the Costco gas station and in Waipahu. Have I said this lately? If you're driving west, going toward the Waianae side, on Farrington Highway in Waipahu, you get to Waipahu Depot Street, and you want to see the sign. The sign says, yes, there is Aloha Power Equipment right there. It's fabulous. And speaking of signs, the Honolulu Sign Company, branding banks and shopping centers and businesses and hotels since 1939. They can't find you. I can't find you if you don't have a sign up. And thank you to the Aloha Section PGA. Teach your children to play golf. It is the gift. for self, for health, for friendship, and family. Go Golf. And Claude Brousseau, Master Teaching Professional, Wailea Golf Academy, Wailea, Maui. Aloha. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2025.